All right. I want to welcome you. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
All right. So we are here today to talk about relationships, but we're actually going to make it a little bit personal for the next two episodes. We wanted to share a little bit about our testimonies and kind of what we're going through, so that way you can better know us and know why do we have a passion? Why do we want to share what we're sharing? And so I think, Keontae, you were going to kick us off with your testimony. So
yes, I definitely am. Well, for those of you listening, if this is your first time listening, hello. If you've already been a listener, welcome back. Again, my name is Keontae McDonald, and just, you know, a little bit about me. I've been married for almost 7 years come July. I have one baby right now, baby Autumn, and then one baby on the way. But things haven't always been happily ever after.
What do you mean things haven't always? I thought when you get married, that's like the solution to it all. It's, you know, like everything gets fixed the moment you get married.
You know, I think that's the allure. That's the dream that everybody has. But yeah, I'm going to give you some real life.
Okay. All right. We like that. We want to keep it real.
You know, so for my testimony, I want to break this down into two parts, kind of. Because, you know, with my testimony, I think I could sit here all day and just tell you about every intricate part of my relationship.
Yeah.
But I'm going to break it down into two parts. And so the first part is going to be, I'm going to call it the when and where part.
Okay. All right.
And then the second part, I'm going to call it the what and why part.
Okay.
And so as we go along, you guys are,
all right. So make sure you guys are paying attention. You got to stay and listen the whole time.
Okay. So getting started. So let's start on the when part. And the when exemplifies, when do we get married?
Okay.
And when the devil actually started working towards us.
I like that.
In our
marriage. That. Okay.
So for those of you that don't know my story, or me and my wife's story, we got married at 19, very young age. And, you know, we just had these big eyes, our eyes wide open, and we're getting married, and everything's just,
and you know it all
peaky,
too, right?
Right.
It's like,
right.
Can nobody tell you anything?
You know, could nobody tell us nothing? I mean, we went up against some opposition when we announced, oh, you know, we're thinking about getting married at 19. You know,
and I'll have to admit, because I was kind of one of those, I was like, what? Really?
Right. So you know, we got married at 19, and then getting married at 19, I think most people who walk upon us and then they hear our story and when we got married, a lot of people always ask the question, well, so you guys got pregnant, right? Or, you know, something happened for you to get married that young. And actually, nothing happened. So I guess it's that's a testimony within the testimony in that.
Okay.
That, you know, we just got married off the fact that we loved each other and we wanted to do things right.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to us at that point, though, what we thought, what we were doing right, and, you know, we're just living for the Lord and you know, we're going to do this and make this happen. I think our view of who God was and who God is was terribly misconstrued to, you know, how it is now today.
Okay.
Yo, so, you know, we got married at 19, and like you said, we just thought we kind of knew it all, and, you know, we were just kind of shunning everybody's opinion, and, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to make it.
Yeah.
But like I said in the beginning, this is when we got married, and this is also when the devil started to prone his attacks on our marriage.
Okay, so break that down.
So, I mean, we just, at getting married, you know, the first month and a half, you're just in that puppy love stage, you know.
Okay.
You know, she can't do nothing wrong, I can't do nothing wrong.
Okay.
We just together. But after that 2 months, you know, things started kind of getting a little shifty.
Okay.
I would say.
Yeah.
And you know, going forward in this testimony, I would say most of it, I don't want to say most of it is on my part, but I mean, I've taken ownership of what my problems were, but, you know, we both had problems in our marriage.
Absolutely. And that's an illusion if you believe that you didn't have any wrong part or wrongdoing in it.
Right.
So
I think for the most part, on my part, in getting married and saying, like, I'm ready to get married, in the back of my mind, I really wasn't ready to get married.
Ooh.
Now, my wife's part, she was ready to get married.
Okay.
And, you know, I think the problem on her aspect was, she just kind of helped me on this pedestal and up to a higher standard, of which I wasn't even holding myself to. So I think that was our first major problem.
Okay, look, so now break that down. So what is it why didn't you not feel like you were ready to get married, but yet you still move forward into marriage?
I think it just comes to a point, and I've talked to a lot of brothers about this, that have gotten married early, some that get married late.
Right, so pay attention as you're listening, because we all have that in our minds where we're like, is this really what I want to do? Am I really ready for this?
Right.
And a lot of times for us, it's you're thinking about, okay, I'm just going to say, be real for man. All right. We're thinking, is there something better? That's so jacked up. We should not think of like that, because really the grass is greener on the other side, because that's where all the manure is.
Right.
A lot of times we really have a good thing, but we're just fearful that there might be a better thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there normally isn't. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's right. I mean, that's right. You know, I got married in the pretenses of, you know, like, yeah, I'm doing this. But like I said, in the back of my mind, it's like, man, is this... am I really about to give up this life that, you know, single life and being able to do whatever I want to do? And, you know, it really fit into the pattern that you just said. It was just like, okay, is there something out there better for me, or, you know, could I have better? And in my case, before I got with my wife and, you know, before we started dating and got married, I had another love interest before her. So my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And me and her dated for about 2 years. But the way that our relationship ended, it wasn't really on our own pretenses.
Okay.
It was more so her mom didn't want us to be together, and our communication was just cut.
Okay.
You know, kind of just in the dark, just blindly. So we never really got to finish things. So me going into marriage and just thinking that, is there something better on the other side? My mind was, you know, what would have happened if I would have actually got married to her or been with her?
The what ifs.
Yeah, the what man. Man.
The what ifs would jack you up. All right.
The what ifs would do you bad, you know? And so that's, I think that's where, you know, my major problem started off at.
Okay,
first.
So is that the wind the devil got in? Or?
Man, that's, I mean, I think as soon as we were at the altar, he was already lacing up his boots like, oh, it's time to go to work. You know what I mean?
And that's a trip where you cannot be married.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you get married, like, you experience all kinds of issues. And it's like, wait a minute, these issues were not here just 3 months ago.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
And so, you know, that just encompasses the when. Now we're moving into the where.
Okay.
And the where is, where did I go wrong?
Okay.
Okay, and so
now we don't go wrong. Men are never wrong, and so I'm joking.
So where did I go wrong? And I think in our marriage and just being in that early stage again, like you're getting the backstory of, you know, where my head was at in marriage and where my wife's head was at in marriage.
Okay,
and where I went wrong is trying to lead my wife and trying to be the husband that I know I needed to be, but I really didn't have that an example, because my mom and my dad never got married, and I really never had an example of a successful marriage, you know, in my family, really. So I was just kind of shooting in the dark, for lack of a better word. And in trying to lead my wife and be the husband I needed to be, I started to falter and slip into other ways. You know, I think finding stress relieves or a stress release. And that came in the form of my ex-girlfriend reaching out to me after X amount of years.
Okay.
And now, you know, we're starting conversations on
you
text dog, messages.
Man. See, you messing with your ex when you're married.
Yeah, man. So. And actually, I would say, I can't even say conversations on text messages, because this was back in the day where, you know, email was kind of still prevalent.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were sending emails and stuff back and forth to each other. And, you know, these text messages and emails, and then that would lead to phone calls. They were just all in a space of being inappropriate.
Now,
for
I really hope your wife
was.
Knows about this, man. As she might be listening to this podcast.
No, she knows it all. Actually, you're
gonna go home to a whole issue like sleeping on the couch all of a sudden. All
right, right. Luckily, man, me and my wife, we're at a point now we could just kind of sit back and just laugh at this, you know.
But that was a process,
man. It was it was a long process, you know, almost 8 year process. But you know, back in that day, it was just really dark, and it was just really tough. And for me, like I said, from where did I go wrong is me continuing to hold these conversations and texting back and forth. And in my heart, I'm knowing like, okay, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but it's just like something in your head, you know what's wrong, but you're like, do I really want to get that up though?
Right, isn't there like a song, feel good, right? There's a song, something like that. Where
yeah.
I know it's going to be wrong, but.
Right, it feels so
right. Something like that. All right, so
yeah, so you know, I'm just staying on this pattern, and I'm just kind of wrestling myself going back and forth, like, okay, you know, so we would text for a week, then, like, you know, a week we won't text, and I'm like, okay, this week I'm not texting her because I just know this wrong, and I need to do right, I need to do better.
Yeah.
Then next week I would start back again, so, you know, I was just kind of playing tug of war with myself. And then there was a point in time where I just told myself, okay, I'm going to just stop, I'm not even going to respond back to her. And then one of my best friends from high school, he ended up passing away. And, you know, the connection that he was my best friend, but, you know, my ex-girlfriend had a connection with him as well because, you know, me and her were dating while me and him were in high school together. So after that happened, I was just kind of got into a depressed type of state and mode.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she reached back out to me, and it was very consoling at that point in time because, you know, like I said, me and her had a connection to him. So I got pulled back in because I felt, I'm just depressed and I'm just sad, and yeah, you know, most of my memories with him involve her. So, you know, I felt good again about doing it, you know. And from that point on, once you start like a small little lie,
yeah,
then you start covering up this lie, and then yeah, it just becomes a whole, it becomes Watergate.
Yeah,
you
right,
know, at
right,
a point in time. You know, and I just really had to, now I could just look back at it and just say, like, man, you know, just little things, little rocks turn into just giant boulders at a time.
Yeah.
And I was just hiding these messages and text messages and emails from my wife. And, you know, one night things just took a turn for the worse for me.
Well, you know, and the interesting part of what you're saying is, there is a change. There's a heart change that's happened. Like you were wrestling in your heart, and you can't hide that wrestling. So you were hiding the text messages,
right,
but you could not hide that I really don't feel like talking to you because I'm actually talking to somebody else right now. So you were expressing what you were feeling with the death of your friend. You were expressing emotions and that you were supposed to express to your wife.
Right.
You're supposed to give that to her, but you weren't giving it to her. You were giving it to somebody else. So when it came to give something to her, you were giving her half of it. And she felt that. She knew something was wrong because you can't hide that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's bad all the way around.
Yeah, it's just bad all the way around. I think, you know, what you're saying, I think what happened is her knowing something was wrong, it just started to fester in her. Because my wife, she was never the type to, you know, you get some, it's not even, I'm not even going to say some women, but you get some men, they're just so insecure in a relationship. They're like, okay, I got to, when her phone down, I got to go ahead and check her phone. I got to check her laptop, something. You know what I mean?
My wife talked about passwords,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And my wife was never the type to do that. But on one particular night, I don't remember what I was doing. I think I was cooking, but my phone happened to be on the table. And my wife picked up my phone, went to a room by herself, and I mean, just start going through there. And so me trying to be slick, I'm trying to give code names to my ex in my phone. My wife figured it out.
Yeah.
And so she just started reading stuff. And, you know, she came back in a room and everything just kind of blew up in my face. Kind of like time just started going slow. Cause I'm like, okay,
yeah,
like I'm caught.
But it wasn't me. Maybe it wasn't me, baby.
Man, you know, and, you know, at that point, I'm just like, oh my, like, you know what I mean? What is going to happen now? Like, how am I going to maneuver this? And then that brings me to the second part of this story, which is the what.
Okay.
And the what just stands for what happened to us
going
on forward from that point.
And that's so critical because for those that are listening, there's crossroads. And there are moments where we make mistakes. There's moments where we experience challenge. But it's what do you do then?
Right.
What are you going to do at that crossroad? Okay, what happened in the past happened. And you got to deal with it. But what are you going to do moving forward?
Right. And, you know, and in this instance, you know, from us just being in that kitchen and, you know, my wife having my phone in her hand, like it just, I was in a space and in an area where I've never been before, you know, and just totally lost, just lost for words. And I don't know what's about to come out of my mouth's wife. I don't know how I'm going to respond to it. I'm just kind of stuck, you know, deer in headlights type of moment. And, you know, I think from this point, what hurt my wife the most, and I've never seen my wife this broken, is it wasn't necessarily an affair where I was going out and seeing the girl and being physical with her. But I think what hurt my wife the most is the emotional factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like you said, you know, dispelling information to her that I'm not dispelling to my wife. And she's like, how, you know, I'm married to you. How are you closer to her? But you're not that close to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so she was just crushed. There was just a lot of crying going on, a lot of bawling, a lot of tears, a lot of, you know, me knowing I made a mistake, but not knowing how to mend it. Right. That's what I was going to say.
That pride steps in and we know we're wrong, but our pride is like, I'm not wrong because you yeah. should have done this and you weren't doing this. Yeah. And that pride will jack us up.
Man, jack this up. And so, you know, from my wife being that hurt, she got to a point to where she was like, okay, you know, this is just too much for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to leave. But it was just such a vague statement of I'm just going to leave. I didn't know whether she was like, okay, I'm going to leave this marriage or I'm just going to leave for a couple hours and cool off and come back. So her leaving and, you know, me, I'm feeling wrong. But then I'm like, okay, do I stop her? Because I'm in the wrong. I don't know if I'm supposed to stop her or not. But she ends up leaving. And for what I thought was going to be maybe a couple hours, like to cool off, actually turned into a couple of days of her going and me not knowing where she was at. And so in that couple of days for me, just being at home by myself, man, I just had, 48 hours of just reflecting and just like, man, where did I go wrong? I think that day, the next day I had to even go to work, but I ended up calling off for work because I'm like, man, I can't even show up to work like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in those 48 hours of just reflecting, it, like I said, it just put me in a space that I'd never been in before.
Okay.
And it really just brought more reflective thoughts out for me of, you know, do I want to really save this marriage and change things around? Or do I want to, you know, this is my scapegoat.
I got a way out.
Yeah, I have a way out. This is the perfect time for me to just
that is so end it. Hard. And that's such a deep moment. And I forgive me, I want to pause because we again, it's that crossroad.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're in moments where it's like, I want that way out.
Right.
And that's Satan. Because a marriage is a commitment. It's a lifelong contract. Right. And you're going to come across moments where it's like, I want the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the right choice. It's never, it's an easy choice.
Yes. Yeah, it's an easy choice.
So keep going, man. I'm sorry.
So then after, you know, that 2 days of reflecting and really asking myself that question, my wife returned home and, you know, she started dispelling to me where she was the couple of days. She was at her best friend's house and just collecting her thoughts. And, you know, I just want to say, I just thank God that at that time she had a best friend that was in the Lord, that was in church. So she had some real godly advice because on my other end, I still have friends, you know, that were.
Let's go to the club, man. Yeah, you know, take your mind off. Let's go get drunk, you know.
You know, so, and I couldn't even, and at that time, I knew I was already doing wrong, but I knew better not to hit them up and just ask them for advice. Man. You know, but I'm so grateful my wife went and consulted somebody with some biblical advice. So my wife came back and we sat down and just talked about the mistakes that I made. And from that point, she gave me an ultimatum. You know, either I wanted to stay in this marriage and work it out, or she was going to pack her stuff up and leave, go back to her parents' house with no remorse and be okay. And, you know, so from that, I think from her giving me that ultimatum and me just, you know, really reflecting on all that we've been through in those short, you know, the short 2 years we were engaged and the year that we've been married so far, I was asking myself, do I really want to throw this away? Do I really want to throw this away off an idea of, you know, my ex and, you know, maybe getting back with her and everything being PG King? Or do I want to stay here with someone who's been there for me for X amount of years and that I can actually see myself married to, that I can actually see this woman, you know, being the mother of my children and, you know, having a good head on her shoulders. So, you know, I had to really weigh my options, my pros and cons in a split second in my head there and said, you know, I want to stay. I apologize for my mistakes. And, you know, what do I need to do to make this up to you? What do we need to do to continue to move on and move forward and better ourselves?
So, okay, well, as we, you know, begin to wind it up, then I want to kind of ask two questions is, you know, what was that process like? You know, because it's not easy. It's a challenge, right. Especially going from a broken down state, from going from an area that's very difficult to build back because you broke it down.
Right.
So what was that process like? And then how did that get you to today where, you know, you're here and we're on this podcast and you have this desire to share with other people?
Okay, man. So finishing up the what part, the what happened to us, man, that process was a tough process.
Okay.
So mind you, you know, we've been married for 7 years now. This is just still in our first year of marriage. So, you know, from my wife saying, okay, well, I forgive you. We're gonna move on and try to better ourselves. Me in my head, I'm thinking, okay, if she forgives me, everything is gonna reset back to how it was, but it wasn't like that at all, you know? So in my mistakes, of course, you know, my wife lost trust for me. There's certain things about her personality that started to change because now she has her guard up more, you know, and her characteristics are changing because of what I've done. And so me now trying to get used to, okay, she doesn't trust me. She's not doing what she used to do. You know, how am I really going to combat this? And I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to stay here, but now it's getting even harder for me, you know. And I just really had to think back to, because a lot of people, when they saw us get married at such a young age, and you know, social media would really jack you up, because you'll see these pictures of happiness you're in la la land, and people just think that you have the most perfect relationship. But you know, at that point where we were going through, I mean, it was far from perfect at all. So people would always ask me for advice and you know, praise us for being married so young. And at that time, you know, while I was trying to get closer to God and still doing, you know, what I was doing with my wife, you know, me being a hypocrite, I was, you know, giving people advice on, well, you know, if you're in this relationship or this is happening, you just need to trust God and, you know, he'll see you through it, you know. And from that point, with my wife changing and everything changing our relationship, and I'm getting frustrated at this point because I'm like, okay, she don't trust me to do this. She don't trust me to do that. Why am I here?
Right. It gets harder.
Yeah.
It literally gets harder. So.
And so from that point on, I really had to, for lack of a better word, I had to practice what I preach, what I've been telling everybody else. Yeah. You know, just if you just trust, if you just do what you need to do and do right and just trust God, he's going to work it all out
right,
for you.
Right.
You know, so Proverbs 3:5 was just it was really my standing scripture on trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because my own understanding was saying, you know, I need to just go ahead and get up out of this because nothing's the same.
Right. I can't make it right.
Right. And I don't think it's getting better. I'm bringing home flowers. I'm trying to cook. And I mean, her attitude just still isn't changed. She's still holding what I thought was a grudge for me for what I did.
Well, and for those that are listening, and I share this, is the Bible says, and it talks about, you know, when you've stolen from somebody, and that's what you did. You stole trust. And so when you steal something, then you're supposed to pay back how much?
70 times 7.
Sevenfold. All right, so for those that are listening, so mind you, you stole normally out of because you did not have. And so if I steal $10, that's probably because I don't have $10. And so now I'm supposed to pay back sevenfold. So where am I supposed to get that from? That means I have to work 7 times harder to pay back what I already did not have. And so the experience that you're talking about is true. As you're paying back, you got to dig deep. You just can't be like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, pay back exactly what I stole. No, you got to pay back sevenfold.
Right.
So as you're dealing with it, and maybe you're listening to this story and you're at a place where you did wrong and you're trying to pay it back, but it's not being received and you just feel like you want to quit, understand it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more sacrifice to repay what you have broken.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I said, from leaning on that scripture, you know, that brings us into the last part of the story, which is the why part.
Okay.
And the why part stands for why getting out of my own way saved my marriage.
Okay.
So, like I said, from leaning on Proverbs 3:5, you know, just trusting the Lord with all my heart and leaning out on my own understanding, I began to understand and came to understand that I just need to step aside and let God do what he's going to do in this marriage.
Yeah.
You know, because ultimately, if I do have this trust in him and I want to get closer to him, I'm trying to get closer to him, he's going to save my marriage. Because I don't have the strength to save my marriage. Yeah. I've already messed up. So I have to let him and allow him to do the things that he's going to do. So within that 6 months of you know, us reconciling and coming back together and agreeing to move forward, you know, we agreed to, you know, get back into church seriously heavy and, you know, go into discipleship training and get more involved in church. And at the beginning, I just thought, you know, it's going to be a lot of work and, you know, it'll put our minds off of just thinking on the past and what happened. Mm-hmm. If we just go through these, you know, classes. But little did I know, just going through these classes or, you know, just going through the motions, I mean, it was just going to change everything for us. Yeah. Just us as individuals and our walks with the Lord and just our marriage in total. So we went from discipleship training to, you know, now going into the marriage classes on Sunday school. Because we used to just come to church.
Yeah.
And then we would just try to come to church when the word was being preached. We didn't even try to come for worship at one point.
So some type of small group couples class is so important.
Right,
and as you're listening to this, if you don't have it at your church, many churches have some type of small group couples relationship class. Get involved. Many of them are free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do couples retreats. Those things are critical.
Right.
So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so, you know, I went from that. Then I got plugged into the Hub, the Young Adult Ministry. And all of these things, for both of us, they worked out great because, like I said, we were getting more involved in strengthening our walk with the Lord. And also, we were meeting people in progressing in our walk that also had certain experiences, the people that can hold us accountable and really better us and build us up more.
Okay.
And, you know, in our marriage. So, and, you know, I don't want you guys to think that this process just took, oh, this was just a 6-month process.
Yeah.
No, like I said, this, my mistake happened my first year in marriage. I don't think that my marriage started really getting on the right track. maybe that four and a half year mark.
Yeah.
So this process was almost a 3-year process.
Wow.
A 3-year process of me, you know, dealing with what I did and dealing with my wife's changing personality and attitude because of me, you know. But at the end of the day, when I look on where I'm at today and where we are today, that 3-year process was so worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and God has just blessed us, you know, ever more in this process and then just sticking it out instead of just throwing everything away. Our 5-year mark, we actually had a giant ceremony, the wedding that we never had. And,
yep.
You know, we went on a honeymoon out of the country. The first time we got to travel out of the country with each other, and a lot of things just happening. And the funny thing is, in those things happening, man, God will just bless you. He'll bless you in just ways that you don't even realize it.
Yep.
So God ended up on our honeymoon. Ended up blessing us with a surprise baby. You know, and that was our first
daughter. I want to say I spoke that in. You know, I ain't going to take no credit, but I went ahead and spoke that in.
But now that I think about it, and I just want to say, you know, with that, because, you know, we didn't plan her, you know, but I just think about that the 3 years prior to where we were headed, you know, almost the death of our marriage.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy that in death, God can produce life.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, our surprise baby, which, you know, I think is really strengthened us even more as parents now, as apart from husband and wife. And, you know, I just want to just really leave with one scripture and just for people to think about this. Whenever you're just in a tough situation or you feel that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, God can work a miracle if you're just really, you know, living for him.
That's
and
right.
The scripture I look at is Isaiah 61. 1-3, and these couple of verses they're titled in the Bible, it's called the Year of the Lord's Favor.
Yeah,
you know, and what I really want to hone in is in verse 3, where it says, in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair.
Yeah.
So God can just take what is just so dark and what is so dim and just make it light again. As long as you continue to trust in him and continue to move where he wants you to move. And for me, going through this, you know, the mistakes that I've made in my life and in my marriage and us rebuilding it, I've just began to get a greater understanding of what God's grace is, from this experience, from my wife really forgiving me from what I did and the mistakes that really could have collapsed our marriage. And she had all the right to continue to walk away, but she didn't, you know, she stayed. And it just makes me think about every morning I wake up and all the mistakes that I make against God, but he chooses to love me and forgive me
and
gives me his grace.
That's good.
So.
Well, man, I know it's not always easy to share those testimonies, mm-hmm. and I just pray that those that are listening, they just have a better understanding of your heart and when we do these podcasts and why we share what we share. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and close in prayer.
Okay.
Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for Keontae, Father, and I thank you just for the miracle that you had performed in his life and where you have taken him from, and I thank you for his marriage. Now, Lord, I just pray for those that are listening that can relate to this testimony. And that's why we have testimonies, is not to hide them, but to share them so that way others can relate. Because our lives are not always perfect. Things don't always go how we want them to go, but it's as you work in and through us in the midst of those situations that mm-hmm. the testimony is. You bring about that miracle. You bring about that deliverance. And so, Father, let somebody know that there is hope in their situation. Father, help them and give them the strength they need if somebody did do something wrong, to be ready to put the work in to pay back sevenfold, not to just pay back onefold and then be ready to quit because they're not getting the response that they want. Mm-hmm. And I pray for that other person that they will just forgive, that they won't harbor unforgiveness, and that they will begin to receive and respond to that person who is trying to repair what they had broken. Mm-hmm. We love you. We thank you. Till next time, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, God bless you and God keep you.
Make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. We're in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's what you come for.
Come on.
Stand up.
Put your hands up.
Make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me.
There's no place I'd rather be, or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body's been too.